Now, less than 1 month out from the midterm elections, the third of three scheduled debates between Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett and rival Democrat Tom Wolf is in the rearview mirror, as are yesterday's appearances in our region with marquee stumpers Chris Christie and Hillary Clinton. And so we thank Governor Corbett for making time in his remaining hectic campaign schedule to join us today. Tom Corbett, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
What are your first-term accomplishments that you hope will motivate voters, especially those in our key five-counting listening area, to cast ballots for you in 25 days?
Number one, we kept the promises that we made, that we'd bring fiscal discipline, limited government, and free enterprise to Pennsylvania. It's exactly what we have done. But let's talk about the Philadelphia region. You know, what I didn't campaign on is having to save the refineries. As you know, soon after I became governor, Sunoco decided it was going to close its refinery, and Conoco decided it was going to close its refinery. Working in a bipartisan way with the legislature, with the mayor's office here, Congressman Brady, and with the White House, we were able to not only to keep those refineries open, but now to actually see them growing. Philadelphia Energy Solutions is becoming an energy hub here in the southeastern part of the state and along the coast here, the East Coast, and it's going to be a huge energy hub for us in the future. Conoco turned into Delta and Monroe. Dow supplies its own aviation gas to other companies and swaps back and forth across the country. They're actually making money on the deal. And the most important thing is we're using American crude today rather than crude coming over from Africa. Extremely important, I think, because it demonstrates we're gaining energy independence here in Pennsylvania and around the country. In addition to that, you might remember an investment we made early on in my administration down at the shipyard, at the shipbuilding facility now called Acker, that they would be able to invest in cranes, and we helped them do that. They built two ships on spec. You probably have seen they're already out to sea for trials, I believe, in a very, to me, a very short period of time. They built these two ships, tankers, double-hulled tankers, and now they have orders for ships through at least 2025. What does that mean? In both facilities, 1,800 people at the shipyard, another close to around 1,800 people, and then you at the refineries, and then you add in all the people that support that, the stores nearby, the homes, the business people. So that was a reaction. But in the meantime, we've added over across Pennsylvania since I've been governor, 184,000 private sector jobs. We have, if you go to our Job Gateway site, around 250,000 open job positions in Pennsylvania. The median salary of that is between $45,000 and $47,000. So we have good jobs out there for people in Pennsylvania. What we have to do is recover from the training of the past and get better training to get the people into these programs. And we've been doing that working with our career links to do that better. And through technology, working with the education system, particularly the post-secondary education system, to be able to train individuals to go into, let's say, manufacturing, for instance, or to go into the natural gas fields, which is another area I know will be a subject of discussion here as we speak. And as you've seen over these last three-plus years, we've gone from number five to number two in the production of natural gas across Pennsylvania. We're just right behind Texas, and that is making us an energy leader not only in the country but in the world. It's providing tens and tens of thousands of jobs. It actually touches over 200,000 jobs across Pennsylvania, including down here in the Philadelphia region.
Let's stay with your lead, focusing on Philadelphia education and Philadelphians. Many feel they've done their part for the city schools, a hike in the sales tax, property tax, now a $2 per pack cigarette tax, union health concessions. To what extent is the onus now on the state to step up and do more?
No other school district gets 53% from the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, as you know, just recently the SRC took action so that the Federation of Teachers now will be participating for the first time contributing to their health care. Philadelphia teachers and their union leadership were the only one other school district in the entire state didn't contribute to its health care, and that's Chester Upland. The actions that the SRC are taking, if enforced by the court, will require that they participate just like everybody else. But if the state is contributing 53% right now, I mean, even Tom Wolf wants to go to 50% across the state for everybody. But let me make another observation. Right now, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, and you know, I'm not going to disagree with them one way or the other, there's $500 million in uncollected real estate taxes here in Philadelphia that could go to the school districts. Can you imagine if they collected 20%? 20% of that. That'd be $100 million that you would have instantly. So, you know, the state does contribute a great deal to the city of Philadelphia School District.
Enough in your regard.
Well, the question is, how much is enough? I mean, Mr. Wolf was asked that question, and he wouldn't answer it or could not answer it in the first debate if you watched that. You know, if you combine all the 500 school districts of Pennsylvania, and that's a staggering number, isn't it? 500 school districts, and that's down from back in the late 60s, early 70s when I went to high school. Their combined budgets are $27 billion. In K through 12 education, $27 billion. When asked the question, is that enough? Mr. Wolf said, if I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember exactly, well, that's a nice number. Well, is that enough? He said, I don't know. And the question is, and it truly, and there are many of us that agree upon this, we need to come up with a fair funding formula. But the perception of fair funding is sort of like art. It's in the eye of the beholder. It's in the eye of the person who's going to be receiving that funding. And that's why there is a commission now, which you know, I was calling for, and the legislature has put one together, that represents all the various interests in education, from the rural to the suburban to the urban. Because, you know, how do you determine what is a fair funding formula? Is it just a single, is there one single number of the this much, you know, this many dollars should go to education per child? Or is it based upon a region? Is it based upon a school district being a school district in poverty or with a great deal of poverty? Is it one with school districts with high special education needs? Is it a school district with bilingual issues, English as a second language? And as you can see, when you start weighing those in, it really becomes, well, I'm interested in my district. Each legislator, I think almost all of them, the first thing they do when they look at the budget is take a look at what their school districts are getting. You know, those are questions that nobody's really wanted to debate, and they're debating it now. We're participating through our Department of Education, and it's one that Pennsylvania and probably other states need to have.
You enjoy Republican majorities in the House and Senate, and with that, why hasn't more been done regarding your goals, for example, with liquor privatization or pension reform?
A lot has gotten done. What we're talking about are two issues, and really only two issues that haven't gotten done. But they are probably two of the largest lightning rod issues that we have in Pennsylvania. Pensions and the cost of pensions to the state taxpayers. And right now, as you know, 63 cents of every new dollar of revenue is going to pensions. We're going to, in 17-18, $3.3 billion of the budget is going to be dedicated to pensions. And make no mistake about it, and since I know there's probably a lot in the education community listening to your show, I have always defended the teachers because they paid their pension statements or their premiums. They paid what they were supposed to do. But school districts and the legislature and municipalities in the past did not completely pay into it. Under my administration, we have fully funded the pensions every year, and we will continue to fully fund. But pensions is the number one issue in Pennsylvania and in many other states that we need to deal with. On the side of liquor, you know, there's two other governors who have tried to get it done, Governor Thornburgh and Governor Ridge, and we've come close. Well, I've come close because under my administration last year, 2013, we got a bill out of the House. Never had happened before. It's over in the Senate. Got it out of committee. It's on the floor. We're still going at it. We're a couple votes shy right now. And I think it's important to be able to do that. Yet right now, there's not one Democrat vote in either the House or the Senate. Not one. Let the Republicans do it. Well, Republicans are a broad spectrum of Republicans, from conservative to moderate, even to liberal. But when no Democrat is putting a vote up for liquor, That's where it's being stopped. And why is it being stopped? Well, you know, I've already had union leaders tell me, well, you want to privatize or end the liquor system as it is. That's going to cost 3,000 or 4,000 union jobs. We can't have that. So they're going to put those jobs up against the right of the people of Pennsylvania to have freedom and choice and convenience when it comes to the purchase of wine and liquor.
November 4th looms, and you've championed a controversial voter ID law that has not been enacted. To what extent are you concerned about voter fraud?
I always worry that we want to make sure that the right people are there voting. Okay? It's one person, one vote. And in this day and age when we have photo ID for just about everything, I do not think it's unreasonable that you come in and you show that, okay, Kevin is Kevin, Dave is Dave, Mary is Mary. And many times right now, we don't do that. You know, you have to go, you have to use your credit card, a photo ID, to buy Sudafed at a drugstore today. Well, let's make sure that everybody is exercising their right once. That's all.
Mr. Corbett, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.